Hey guys, and welcome to Dreamers and Doers, episode number 16 with Sigrid. Hey Sigrid.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And we're gonna talk about self-love and self-empowerment. I will stop the music because it's nice for the introduction. But now we need to speak. Done. So I met you, Sigrid, at, thanks a lot, Matt Ringrose, because I met you and a lot of amazing people actually at that place. And yeah, so I thought you had a really interesting story from, tell you all a bit your story and how you got into, so you're a yoga teacher, meditation teacher, starting to be a coach.
I am a life coach, I guess the journey is long, so what could you like for me to talk about more?
I think what would be really interesting is, and what can relate for people, is how you got into, I don't know, would you call it, I call it usually personal growth, when you look at how you can become, I don't know, a better person, more performance, things like this. Like, how did you, like, for example, how did you get into yoga, like, for the first time?
Well, that has been a very long journey. My parents introduced me to yoga. My mom and her mother used to have a holistic therapy center where I lived several times a month through my childhood, and there was a yoga teacher there. So I started to do yoga classes when I was about 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was never like something consistent, nor something with a goal. It was just simply something that was there in my life, and I would just see as normal. So I guess yoga for me started when I was that young, and then later on when we moved to Barcelona, that was back in the Dominican Republic, we could do sun salutations in the morning if we're going to school sometimes. But again, it wasn't something that I didn't know it was a thing. Wasn't goal driven at all. And then when I was later in my life, when I was in my late teens, I started to suffer from anxiety, and that really pushed me to kind of look at the things that I wasn't looking at within myself. And yoga and meditation came back into my practice, and then I became to be more disciplined with it.
Yeah, I have a question about actually when it ticked, because, for example, for me, like, I love meditation, it really ticked for me, but yoga, like, especially with what I'm doing at the moment, I'm trying, maybe that's why, but like, yeah, with yoga, I like doing it, like, for the fitness, but I haven't had that feeling that some people have sometimes, that it's like they can't do without. Like, was there a moment when, like it ticked and made you feel way better?
I don't know. Not that I can recall right now. I think because, as I said, I have been there my entire life, but never really paid attention to it. But when I started to suffer from anxiety, I knew that things like pharmaceutical drugs and all of that, it wasn't an option for me to go in there. So I just went straight into what were the tools that I knew that I could use just by using my, you know, my body or my mind. So yeah, I guess I just started to do it in a daily basis. I just tried to, you know, be patient but diligent with my practice, and it just was born as a way of self-love, self-care, and I guess I started to feel the benefits of it, and then I just stick
to
it.
So did you feel like, less anxiety, for example, just by doing
Definitely. Yeah. Breathing was one of my biggest saviors when it came to anxiety, and meditation and yoga as well, definitely. So when I saw that by practicing yoga, by meditating, by consciously breathing, I could skip anxiety that day, and that if I could skip it, I could go back into anxiety, I guess that's what triggered the habit, which now obviously I don't need to practice on a daily basis in order to not have anxiety, but I just really enjoy it.
And so obviously everyone who's watching, you can ask questions at any time. So whether it's about yoga, meditation, self-love, which are like subjects we don't talk about a lot, but are like, really quite important. And so when did you start, and did you start meditating after yoga?
Again, that was something that I knew from a little bit, from when I was a kid, but my disciplined regular practice started later on. Yeah, so.
And just on yoga, if you can go back to it, so you talked about the breath. I think a lot of people, they go to yoga, probably including myself, go to yoga expecting a workout or a good stretch, and which is fine. But I feel like maybe that's why it hasn't ticked for me, is like it's very important to focus on the breath, right? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where it starts. So
yeah. Why do you think it hasn't ticked for you? Sorry, I don't think I understood your question.
Well, I think I go to that practice for the stretch or for the workout.
Mm-hmm.
But it's way more than it. But for me, it's still at this stage, you know? So I appreciate it, but
yeah.
That's why I'm not like... Like I can do without because and I guess it's when you focus more on the breath that it becomes a more mindful experience. Because I couldn't do without meditation now, like I tell you.
Yeah.
But like yoga, I'm fine with that.
Well, maybe from today I can encourage you to try having a breathing practice.
Yeah.
So it's a couple of minutes a day, and definitely once we focus on the breath, it's it amplifies the whole experience. So. It's something that one thing can't go without the other. I think that in the Western world, there is now a big trend of bringing yoga to kind of like everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that can sometimes, in that process, the purity of the practice can get lost. And a lot of people may don't get it 100%, but it's still amazing that more and more people are practicing it clicks at some point.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of something that it's okay, there's no right way of doing yoga, but definitely I would encourage you to practice pranayama breathing exercises on a daily basis and see how that goes.
And on top of yoga, there's like, so for example, even like, you know, I do a little mind training program and I want to do baby steps. So the idea is, for example, for people, can be just if you're waiting for the elevator and having like 3 or 4 conscious breath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you find this help a lot? Just in little moments, like if you're in your car and traffic jams. And
yeah, that's probably more mindfulness, what you're doing. And when I have found in the past to be in a very stressful time of life and kind of witness myself rushing and not getting into these practices, what I do is I set myself alarms.
Okay.
So I literally have 2 or 3 alarms through the day that say take 3 deep breaths. So in times that I know I won't be with my coaching clients or I won't be sleeping or whatever, so when that happens I have to stop whatever I'm doing and just breathe.
I had the same at work for drink water and review your posture. So I could have had that breathe.
I've gone through all of them. Like I have squat, I have one for 25 squats and I can't get my workout on. I have a lot of things, so
But yeah, it's funny because it always comes back to just that very simple thing of breathing. Like even when you look at stuff that look really complex, like Wim Hof method, it just starts with breathing. Yeah.
And the thing is that our breath holds a lot of wisdom as well, so a lot of the times we can understand so much about who we are, what we are going through, what are our feelings, and how to shift it, how to shift anything in life just through witnessing our breath. So I always encourage my clients and students to witness the itinerary of the breath, and just through seeing whether it's shallow, whether it's deep, or what's your breath telling you. There's so much information in there, and we don't pay attention to it, but yet we can't live without breathing, so it's definitely something important.
Do you want to do everyone who's watching, like a long, because it's true, like just doing it, like people never do it if we do just one breath like this?
It goes for every person differently, but I think the most important thing, a lot of people, they breathe through the ribs, so when they take a deep breath, it just fills their chest. So the most important thing to take a deep breath is just to try to slow it down so that it can fill your belly. So just try to see your breath in, your inhalation, should fill your belly. And then as you exhale, you should be emptying your belly first, later the air that it's in your chest, and later. So yeah, it's just, that sounds very simple, but most people don't do it.
Yeah.
So it's just simply practicing that and maybe trying to make each exhalation 1 second longer than the inhalation. So that really helps you to slow down your breath and make the quality of it better.
Yeah, really simple, but is there like gratitude exercise or drinking water, all these things, like little things, but and they've changed my life. Honestly.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Yeah, good one to try. I wanted to talk also about, so you're currently helping people, mostly women in general, to get more self-love and self-empowerment. So yeah, I feel something that's very important that we never talk about is how to love our own selves. True, right? And like how, you know, people can sabotage a bit themselves, I guess, not loving themselves. So do you have examples or tips or techniques of like maybe why in general people maybe don't love themselves unconditionally as they should and what can help them?
The why is very different in each case. I believe that we live in a society that really encourages that to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we are constantly stimulated by external sources, and we are constantly encouraged to be looking at what's happening outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always learning about history, we're learning about technology of the future, we're learning about gossip of celebrities, we're learning, we are told to be always a good boy or a good girl, to look after other people's needs, look after making sure that we don't offend anyone, that we are polite, all of that. But then when it comes to us, no one encourages us or teaches us how to love ourselves, how to look after our own needs and prioritize what we need in order to be okay. Which is, it's quite interesting, because if we are not really okay, we can't ever give to the rest of our people around us, or perform at our best when it comes to career, business, whatever that might be. It's just everything in our world, it's created for us to keep getting distracted, but something that is outside of ourselves. And when it comes to tips, well, we already gave one. Breathing is so important, and it might seem as you breathe all the time, so why would I sit and breathe? But it's not only the fact that breathing can have physical health benefits, but it also does in a mental level, beyond helping you to deal with anxiety and to relax, deal with the stress. As I say, it covers a lot of information. So if you could just dedicate a few minutes a day to connect with your breath, you could find that a lot of things that can only be found within that stillness would come up. And it is a subject that I can't really talk about only in the few minutes that we've got, but I would like to say that it's definitely very, very important. And I talk about it all the time in several Insta lives and videos and all of that. So if people are more interested, they can just go to my social media, especially my Instagram. Amazing. And I talk about it all the time. And I support women into finding their voice and really getting to be more confident and feeling self-empowered, because really that's how, if we all look after ourselves, if instead of placing my attention into what should I do to make you feel good, how can I look after you, how can I make sure that you feel comfortable, if I put all of that energy into making myself feel great, feel the best I can feel, and you do the same, you don't need me to worry about you. So while this may sound to some people as a selfish concept, it has nothing of selfish, but rather when we are looked after within ourselves, when we have our own backs, we can be more generous, we can be more of service to humanity.
And that's like, we talked about that with James yesterday. It's like, there's like that image in the plane, if there's, in case of lack of oxygen, you put your mask first.
I talked about that
first
in the program, definitely.
Yeah, that's like a good image.
Yeah,
it makes me think also like of, there's like, I'm a huge fan of Tim Ferriss, so he's very hard on himself. And for self-love, he was doing, so his girlfriend made him put little pieces of paper in a jar every time, like every night, with something good. And when he was feeling bad, and hard with himself, he could look at where he was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's a big one, like self-dialogue, the self-talk or inner dialogue, it's a very big one. So we need to definitely pay attention to that. And there's a bunch of exercises that I'm always speaking about on social media as well, to just recognize what's the dialogue going on within and what are the thoughts that we're feeling. Are we constantly bullying ourselves? Or are we really engaging into positive, loving self-talk?
Yeah, and you find sometimes people are more, like they wouldn't treat someone else, or they treat themselves almost.
Yeah.
Like even, sometimes it comes even to like, blaming themselves, or even like nutrition or these things, like they would do things to themselves that they wouldn't do to others. So yeah, it's not selfish, guys.
That's why I talked about the breath. It just brings you back into your body, and it reminds you that you are here, and that in order to be here, you need to remember to look after yourself. We need to stop rushing and running, trying to fulfill everyone else's desires, work for everyone else's dreams, and try to please everyone, get approval, affirmation, love from everyone else. If it doesn't come from within, it doesn't really, like, it will wash off.
And you were talking also so a bit about the women you work with. So what do you feel is very important for self-empowerment for women today?
Get to know themselves first of all. Get to know themselves first of all. If you don't inquire within, if you don't have a level of self-awareness that allows you to understand who you are and what is happening, what are the thoughts that you're engaging, what are the emotions that are created by these thoughts? If you don't have a level of awareness that allows you to just be conscious of that, you can't really ever feel truly empowered. You can motivate yourself through positive talk and peak states and positive psychology and all of that, and it works for a little bit, but eventually it washes off, because you might wake up one day and you're feeling sick, or you're feeling exhausted, or someone you love is in hospital, or like something that actually really takes away your capacity to self-motivate yourself. And that's when you realize that if you don't love yourself, you can't feel empowered. Rather, if you love yourself, you have so much kindness, acceptance, and respect for yourself that you don't need to be in a peak state. You don't need to be in a good mood or have the energy to make the effort to motivate yourself. But rather, it comes from such a pure habit, which is, I love myself no matter what, therefore I can lift myself up. Because self-empowerment comes from a simple knowingness of who we are, what we're capable. And when the bad thoughts come in, the loving thoughts go like, that's not me. And that already makes you feel empowered.
And you talked about knowing yourself. So how did you succeed, kind of, to know yourself? I mean, it's probably still a work in progress, but...
Exactly. I don't think you can ever finish that progress. But for me, well, I was born a little bit curious in that way. You know, we have different types of intelligence, and I've always been emotional intelligence. So through my life, I was just always exploring and studying human behavior.
Okay.
And studying myself all the time. What feelings, I've always been very deep. And later on, as I said, I grew up in a holistic environment, and I was always encouraged to speak about my dreams and speak about my feelings and share and cry and whatever came up. So I had that fresh, although I rejected it for most of my life until I suffered from anxiety. And then I had no other option. I had to either get to know myself or I could never know why I had anxiety. So I could never fix it. And it felt so bad. It was so hard to live with anxiety that it was just a blessing. Suffering from that really changed my life. It saved me. So through meditation and breathing techniques, yoga, and obviously I've trained with so many people. I've done coaching trainings and yoga trainings, meditation trainings and breathing trainings. And like, I've sat with elders from around the world, learning about different indigenous and native cultures. So I've just had my practice. I've been diligent with my practice, and I've been willing to look at parts of myself that weren't maybe nice or comfortable to look at. So I guess to get to know yourself, the only thing you can do is to do the work. How do people say it? The only way there is through? The only way out is through.
Okay.
Yeah, the only way out is through.
Okay, you know it.
Yeah.
hey Frank, so Frank's gonna be interviewed tomorrow. Really interesting actually. On stress management for peak performance. That'll
awesome.
Be good. Sorry. Yeah, I wanted to ask you also, yeah, what's the piece of advice you get asked the most by people?
Well, I get asked a lot how do I love myself?
Yeah.
A lot. And this is why I created the program that I was telling you about.
On this, we don't asking the question how do I love myself already prove a certain level of self-awareness. Because like I'd feel a lot of people who suffer from anxiety, they wouldn't even get to that. I mean, it took me a while to realize I wasn't loving myself unconditionally, and I probably still don't. So I mean, already as, yeah.
Yes, and not only self-awareness, in my opinion, it also already shows, and I think it's very important to highlight that, it already shows an amount of self-love.
Yeah.
Because if you're gonna love yourself,
yeah.
you're gonna care about how to love yourself.
Yeah.
So that's something that we all have, and I think it's very helpful to just highlight it. So when people ask me that, it's not something you can just give one sentence and fix, you know, in a second. So that's why I've created the program I was telling you about, the 4-week programs, to really dive into what it means, but also how do you get there? How do you get to really become your own best friend, honor, respect, and prioritize your needs, your happiness. So
let's talk about the program.
Awesome. Well, the program is a 1 month, 4 weeks to be exactly, coaching program.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Self Love Like a Boss, and it will be available this week, guys. I'm very excited about it.
I'll post it at the end of the interview.
Amazing, yeah, for sure. So what we will do is to dive into 4 different aspects of what I think are steps to take you into that journey of self-love. So every week we'll dive into one of these and we will explore a different aspect of self-love.
Okay. So
first week we will dive into limiting beliefs and insecurities. Get to learn what are they. How do we recognize ours, but also how do we take action? How do we change them? Instead of just knowing that they're there, what can we do about it? Second week, we dive into inner dialogue and self-talk, and the same, we just get very clear into what is happening within and how can we shift that to feel happier and more empowered to get to be more loving towards ourselves. The third week is self-care and well-being. Same thing. And fourth week is boundaries and priorities. So how do we voice our needs? How do we learn to say no without feeling any shame or any guilt? How do we learn to prioritize what's important to us and realize that there is no such thing as selfishness in taking care of us, of ourselves? And so we're gonna have 4 different webinars, 1 each week, and explore that subject, have a lot of time to share in the Q&As, and each day the participants, attendees, will receive a daily task to work into that subject.
That's good. Taking action.
Yeah, and we'll have a little closing ceremony, the 5th webinar. So it's gonna be pretty amazing. I've had a lot of requests and I'm very happy to be finally putting it together so I can share with this with women, because I feel like it's something so important. It's really, it changes your experience of life, not only how you feel within yourself, but how you feel within yourself. It's really reflects into everything that's happening outside of yourself in life. So it benefits your health, it benefits your personal relationships, it benefits your career, your success. So definitely the transformation that's going to happen within this month is going to be amazing. I can't wait to share it.
Nice. And actually, Amanda. Hey, Amanda. Thanks for your question. What's the most powerful practice you've learned so far?
Most powerful practice. If I had to speak on daily practices that I have at the moment, I really like how Vedic meditation works for me. I find Vedic meditation to be very powerful.
That.
Yes, there's many other practices that I do, but if I had to share a mainstream one that everyone can know and learn about easily, that could be one. If you can't access a Vedic meditation training just yet, I would say, Amanda, just meditate. Even if it's with a mobile app, even if it's for a couple of minutes every day, even if it's, you know, just breathing consciously for a few minutes. Just finding the time, the space to be with yourself.
Mm. I mean, you probably already meditate. I'm actually reading the book she recommended to me, which is this one, really cool one. And there's like cool meditation, but yeah, I can definitely second meditation, like a Vedic meditation that I loved. Obviously, well, I mean, unlocked doing also meditation program, but yeah, I definitely started with Vedic, which is awesome. That's just a smaller entry door for people who are not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and so when you do the program, do you teach meditation in your four-week program?
We do a guided meditation after mm-hmm. each webinar. So to start the webinar, we start doing some breathing exercises to just make sure that the whole collective, the group that we are, grounds, and we can feel our bodies, we can connect mm-hmm. with ourselves, and then come from here
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just like arrive. And mm-hmm. then towards the end, we always do a guided meditation. Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
To kind of, you know, envision what we are speaking about.
Mm.
Just to get into that practice of connecting with ourselves, you know, even if you, doesn't really matter whether it's through Vedic meditation or another type of meditation. I teach mindfulness mostly. And yeah, it's just the fact of making space to be with yourself. We always constantly, again, as mm-hmm. I say, looking outside of ourselves, mm-hmm. right? So we wanted to do trainings and read mm-hmm. books and watch documentaries and listen to podcasts. And it's like, yes, all of that is amazing. But if it's not accompanied by the practice of listening to yourself, you that carry the whole universe's wisdom within mm-hmm. you, there's really no growth. There is
yeah.
no growth.
Yeah.
You can't just learn from everyone else but yourself and expect growth to happen. It's not a thing. So mm-hmm. self-development, self within you, and then you develop, and then you learn things, but within you all the time first.
That's true. And Frank, yeah, thanks Frank. I'll go to your question, and just to on this, I think it's really cool that you also do this meditation, because I'm doing that course by Matt. Was it your Vedic meditation teacher too, Matt?
No
okay, but it was mine, and we're doing a course on the Veda, and it's so his teacher Tom Knowles talks about how meditations also updates the hardware. So the idea is like a bit on computer, if you have a powerful software, which would be the knowledge you can acquire, but you don't have the hardware to run it, it doesn't work properly. And so it's good to know how to love yourself, to have this cognitive understanding, but if you meditate, you actually change your brain, like this, like scientific, like shrink your amygdala, increase your prefrontal cortex, stuff like this, and then you can actually run this more efficiently. So yeah, that's the power of meditation, guys. Yeah. And Frank, I can't remember what kind of meditation you do, but definitely a meditator. Do you think people overthink meditation?
Oh, definitely. And that's why Vedic meditation, I find it to be so powerful. Mm-hmm. And breathing is so powerful, because when you are, and I'll go to the breathing first, when you are focusing on your breath, there is not space for you to be focusing on anything else. So if you truly are focused on that, on what's happening in this very present moment, not in the whole practice, not into what's going to happen after when you finish breathing or the benefits that you will get, but rather focusing into the real present moment through your breath, you have no time to think on anything else. So that's why it's so powerful, because we access our being, right? So with meditation, it's the same. People tend to think a lot about whether they can meditate, whether they'll be able to, or they'll be good at, if it's too hard to find time for it. But if you just simply sit, that's why Vedic meditation is so good. You just sit comfortably. You don't have to have a, you know, super still, don't move, if something is itchy, don't scratch. You can just be, and go with mantra. If the mantra goes, then let it go. If it comes back, then let it come back. And it's just easy, it's effortless. And that's why I really love that technique.
Nice. That stop.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, and so if you have questions, keep asking because it's gonna finish soon. It's been like 30 minutes now. I'll have one last question for
sure.
You, Sigrid. Do you have a discount for your program for the members of Unlocked?
Yes, I do. Okay, you just put me on the spot. I like it though. Well, while it's not available to subscribe yet, it will be this week. The price is $295 for your viewers. It will be
for the members.
Okay, you just literally put me on the spot. Okay, we'll make it.
I just, Koshin gave 15% off.
15% off?
Yeah, gotta beat that.
I need to top that. Well, there is an early bird of $235 for your members. It'll be $200 if they book within the week.
Nice.
Yeah, so 7 days after I published it,
mm-hmm.
which will be before the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether I publish it on Thursday or Friday. But yeah, if you, I'll let you know, you can post
yeah.
it, and within 7 days, then you
can
do it for 200.
Is it
you're
for women only?
It's
oh, yeah.
only for
yeah.
women.
Okay.
Yeah, sisters. And we're going to keep it, there is limited spots, because I want every single woman or girl to be able to share and to ask questions and to feel included and have this personal, intimate
yes.
relationship.
Mm-hmm.
The groups will be maximum of 11 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have different timings for, it'll be a big group on Facebook, but the webinars will be 11 women
mm.
at a time so that we can all really
yeah, yeah,
enjoy
yeah.
and
That's
have
good.
This intimate experience.
A little mastermind. Nice. Well, guys, if you don't have any more questions, we're gonna end so with a little bit of music as usual. And the ritual, Sigrid, is yeah, where we go.
Are you gonna put me in the spot again?
Yes, and we always finish these episodes with a big hug. Thank you, Sigrid. And thanks, guys, for being quite active. Ah, Jess, you're amazing. Love, Jess. And yeah, we're gonna end the live now. Thank you so much, guys. And I see you tomorrow, actually, with Frank. Frank sent for a question. And I can't wait because that's gonna be so interesting. Yes. Guys, see you tomorrow.